You can be today the freest person on earth, enjoying all the luxuries, all the blessings of society. Here, somewhere else, you can be the freest person on earth in human terms, and yet you can be 100% spiritually enslaved to sin, death, and Satan. Conversely, you could have every right of yours on earth taken away in a place like Auschwitz, the horrific reality of that. And yet, if you are a child of God in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you, you could be in a horrific place of enslavement and yet never be more spiritually free.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so glad that you're here today. I'm the host of Live in the Light, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And hey, you've joined us wherever you are, in your car or at home, in the middle of our series entitled The Holy Spirit. We're glad you're here looking at these great truths behind an often forgotten teachings in our churches today. Today's teaching is hugely important, Robbie, and it's all about freedom.
It's the freedom that the Holy Spirit alone can bring to your lives. I wonder where you are right now and just asking you a question. Are you driving the car, sitting at home, listening online? Just do you sense freedom upon your life? And just what does freedom mean to you? You know, often we will define freedom in terms of our everyday life in this world, the society we live in, the freedom that's great, but there's a much, much greater freedom. There's a supernatural freedom. There's an eternal freedom. There's a freedom only found through faith in Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, we become children of God. And that's why the Word of God says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The best freedom ever for those of us alive in Jesus Christ. Man, we pray that that's you, and we pray maybe if you're listening today, that can be you. Tune in and learn the beautiful truths of what it means to be free in Jesus Christ.
Okay, it's a message of freedom today, loved ones. We pray you're encouraged. We pray you're challenged. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and here again is Robbie with today's teaching.
2 Corinthians 3, let me just say this for you. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom is one of the highest values in our society and culture, and rightly so. Freedom's a very big deal, and it should be. I'm thinking of our own national anthem, my favorite line in our national anthem. I had the chance twice this week in one day to sing it in the morning with a group of people, and then in the evening with a large group of people. And every time we come to that line, God keep our land glorious and free, I use it as a prayer from my heart. One, to say, God, thank you that we're in a nation that is indeed glorious and free, as the writer of that anthem meant to say, under the sovereignty of God. And I use it as a prayer to thank him, but to say, Lord, would you truly keep our land glorious and free, because the value of freedom, it's such a huge deal. I think of our neighbors to our south, and I think of, as in their national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, and, you know, land of the free and home of the brave. Just the importance of that. Also, in the Declaration of Independence, probably the most famous line is, life, liberty, freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what is that? It says within the document itself that this should be endowed to every person by the Creator. Every person who's lived should have the right to life, to freedom, and to the pursuit of happiness. This will become the foundation of any strong, freedom-centered society. But in contrast with where we are now, I read a book last week about the plight of Jewish prisoners in the death camp of Auschwitz. And you go from where we are of freedom and as glorious it is, and then you see the reality of the Jewish people for the most part in these death camps, no freedom there, zero. A total enslavement, total bondage. unspeakable suffering, no rights, none. All of them taken away. And those that are there would testify they cannot imagine hell being any worse than what they were living in that setting. In one sense, glorious freedom. In another sense, zero freedom and unspeakable suffering. But the spiritual truth that we learn today from God's word is we learn about a freedom that is above all freedom. See, what do you mean? You can be today the freest person on earth, enjoying all the luxuries, all the blessings of society. Here, somewhere else, you can be the freest person on earth in human terms, and yet you can be 100% spiritually enslaved to sin, death, and Satan. Conversely, you could have every right of yours on earth taken away in a place like Auschwitz, the horrific reality of that. And yet, if you are a child of God in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you, you could be in a horrific place of enslavement and yet never be more spiritually free. How is that possible? Only one way. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ presents a freedom unlike any other freedom you can imagine. The gospel of Jesus Christ, given by the Holy Spirit, found in the person of Jesus Christ, gives a freedom that transcends all governments, all wars, all dictators, all injustice, all inequity, and all inequality. This is a freedom that will take the poorest person on earth and cause them to become the wealthiest person, spiritually speaking, in the universe. It takes the most oppressed person and causes them to know the highest spiritual joy. It's a freedom that causes the horrifically enslaved to sit at the right hand of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no freedom like this freedom. And this is the freedom that God speaks to us today, given only by the Holy Spirit of God. I must pray before we go any farther. I must pray. Father, I pray and I beg you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, I pray that you will cause this time to be one of true renewal, encouragement, and love and blessing. God, I ask right now, you will set people free. Father, I pray that you will lift the veil from the eyes of those that are here or listening, and you will let them see for the first time ever the glory that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And they will then be given a freedom that will never, ever be taken from them, that cannot be stolen, will never be diminished, that is unbreakable, indestructible, and one that is absolutely and truly eternal. This is only found in you, and I pray that you will do that today. Thank you for the grace that is all around us, the grace that is within us, and I pray the grace that will be found again by those, I pray, maybe for the first time ever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our sermon title, The Holy Spirit and Freedom, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Please turn and join me as we look at God's word, God's given word to us that our lives might be changed. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Notice, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Freedom is at the center of our text today. The Holy Spirit is all around it and in it. So here's the first truth we learn today as it comes to the Holy Spirit and freedom. Number one is this, the where and there of freedom. The Holy Spirit. The where of freedom is the Holy Spirit. The there of freedom is also the Holy Spirit. We're talking about true freedom. We're talking about eternal freedom. We're not talking about earthly, temporal freedom. We're talking about everlasting freedom only found, given by the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice the where and there of freedom, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can you see the where and the there? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when you find the Spirit of the Lord, there you also find supernatural and eternal freedom. Where he is, freedom also is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there we find freedom. Nowhere else can we find this freedom. And no one else can we find this freedom. You've been searching for years or decades. You have not found freedom because you have not found freedom in the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one who can give it as he points us to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, why the Holy Spirit? Well, look at verse 17 again. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. What is this? This is telling us the Holy Spirit is God. This is a declaration as to the deity of the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord God is the Spirit. Of course he is. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is Creator. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. The Holy Spirit is the one who raises us from the dead. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He is eternally existing. He is self-sufficient. The Holy Spirit is infinite. And therefore, wherever he is, because he is God, there is also freedom. Where is freedom? There is freedom. The Holy Spirit is freedom. Question, is he in you? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so is the Holy Spirit in you. Because when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, you are absolutely free. And there's no way, if that has happened, that you cannot know it. This is when you are changed from ever, from death to life. But notice within these verses inherently, this is not some religious system. This is not man-made. This is a relationship with a person. The Holy Spirit at conversion, regeneration comes and lives within us. Notice too, this is not playing church. Some of us are playing church. Say, what do you mean? Come, church every now and then, stand up, sit down, leave, live the rest of our life, and there's no impact and no difference of any true transformation in Jesus Christ. Playing church is not what's happening in the text here. When we are set free, there's a supernatural transformation that takes place in our lives. Notice too, this isn't some self-esteem enhancing garbage. That's not what's happening here. This is freedom given by Almighty God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But here's the question, but freedom from what exactly? What are we being set free from? And that's the question I want us to ask. If you look at verse 17 and verse 18, I want you to see the bookends of these two verses. So if we took just these two verses as we are today, notice the bookends. Can you see them there? Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Look at the very end of verse 18. The very end of verse 18, it says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we have two bookends of this passage, all containing and surrounding by the Holy Spirit. Another way you can look at this, today we hold a freedom-based sandwich, okay? There's a sandwich given by the Holy Spirit of God, and the two pieces of bread are the Holy Spirit, and everything that's within this awesome spiritual sandwich, by the way, are you getting hungry yet? Getting hungry? In this sandwich, the right kind of hunger, everything within this sandwich is freedom-based, biblically speaking. So verse 18, for this comes from, what's this? This is the content of the sandwich. This refers to the freedom that the Holy Spirit alone can give. So then we say, what's in this awesome, delicious, spiritual, freedom-centered sandwich? Let's find out. Then the Holy Spirit of God comes and the person of Jesus Christ is seen, and he changes our lives, we're given freedom. Freedom from what? Number one, freedom from the veil. Freedom from the veil. Some of you are like, I don't know what you mean. Look at verse 18. Here's freedom unpacked. And we all, who's we, believers, genuinely saved Christians, and we all with unveiled face. Let's stop right there. Paul's already unpacking the glorious reality of our freedom. What's he referring to? What's he referring to? Well, this is time for some context. Yes. context. And our context for our verses here is verse 12 through 16. Let's look at it together. Let's be students of God's word together. Look at verse 12. Now, when you're studying scripture, when you see words repeated, notice them because that will tell you what this passage is primarily about. So let's look for the repeated word in verses 12, really, all the way through 18. Verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses. Interesting. Who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Somebody like, what does that even mean? We'll get to it in just a moment, okay? Verse 14, but their Jewish people, their minds, Israelites, their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ, this is for some here today right now, only through Christ is it taken away. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, five times in six verses, the word veil is used in some form. Why? Because it's everything. Verses 12 to 16 is a direct reference to Exodus 34. In Exodus 34, Moses goes up to the mountain. Moses is unveiled before the glory of God. The glory of God reflects upon Moses. The Bible tells us his face literally begins to shine. He is reflecting his skin, the Bible says, is shining the glory of God. Moses comes down the mountain. The people see the glory of God on Moses' face. Moses, it says in Exodus, and our text tells us here today, he places a veil over his face so the people no longer can see the glory. You might ask, why? Why would Moses place a veil to cover the glory? Here's what we're learning in 2 Corinthians 3 and based on Exodus 34. Because the glory of Moses was temporal. It was an old covenant glory. It was a legitimate glory. It was a beautiful glory, but it was nothing in compared to the glory that would be revealed in the new covenant in the person of Jesus Christ. So because the glory is fades, Moses places a veil over his face that the people may not see that the reality is this glory is fading. Look at verse 13 of our text. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, the old covenant, the glory that faded. But notice here what Paul does masterfully in this text. He switches the metaphor of the veil from the face of Moses to the hearts of the Israelites. Verse 14, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Loved ones, notice this now. The Jewish people saw the temporal glory of Moses, but they could not see any glory beyond Moses. They failed to see the glory of Jesus Christ. The text tells us why. Because their minds were hardened. And whenever you find a hardened mind, that will always lead to a veiled heart. A hardened mind leads to a veiled heart. That is why Paul says, to this day, when Moses is read to them, they cannot see that Moses pointed to Jesus. This is why they saw Jesus in the flesh. They did not believe he was the Son of God. They could not see the glory beyond the Old Covenant or the Old Testament system. And think about this right now. In our day as well, you find a hardened mind and you find a veiled heart. That is why you can have people steeped in religion up to their eyeballs right now, but no change has taken place. This is why people can hear the gospel 100 times, that Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that through his life and death and resurrection, he takes our sin and gives us life. And they hear this every Christmas, and they hear this every Easter, and they hear this even today at a baptism service. But they remain unchanged because their minds are hardened, and therefore a veil lies over their heart. I mean, I just think about the reality of this place right now, this message being spoken, and the veil that would remain over people in this room or who can hear this message even now. That you have never truly experienced the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God, because your mind has been hardened, and therefore the veil lies over your heart. It's amazing to me, story after story after story. I could not see. I might have been in church, I might have this, but all of a sudden my life broke down. All of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ lifted the veil from my eyes, and I could see, and I'm testifying now that I am free, and Jesus Christ has saved me. And I now am no longer blind, but the veil has been lifted, and I have received the freedom that is only given in Jesus Christ for the glory of the Lord. Loved ones, this is the freedom that only the Holy Spirit can bring, which puts any earthly freedom. It makes it look like nothing. There's more to this freedom. The second part of this freedom is this: we have the freedom to behold glory. So verse 18, we're just going through our verse here. And we all with unveiled face. What happens when the blindfold's removed? When I can see, see what? And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Okay, what I need us to do right now, I need us to understand the territory of privilege that we are walking into right now. Loved ones, think of the privilege and the blessing and the honor of being able to testify that you have beheld the glory of the Lord, that you have experienced the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you know that you are saved and you know that you have been set free. Loved ones, think of the millions and billions of people who have lived this life and died apart from Jesus Christ. They never had the veil lifted. They never were able to ever behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they enter into eternity by themselves apart from Jesus Christ. Think of the millions and billions of people on this earth right now who are living, who cannot see, where the veil covers their eyes, and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know freedom. And so you're sitting here right now, and you testify that Jesus Christ is in you, and you've been granted the freedom to have the veil lifted from your eyes, not because you did it, because the grace of God that he took the blindfold off, and you've been able to behold the glory of the Lord. Let me ask you, why you? Why me? Why us and not them? And that's when your mind starts to hurt a lot. And the more I think about that, man, the more I get lower, and the more Jesus Christ becomes higher. There is no greater privilege on the face of this earth or in this universe than be able to testify that I have been given a freedom that allows me to see with spiritual eyes and behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about it. Moses in the Old Covenant, Moses, one man, one mountain, saw the glory temporally from the Lord. We now, New Covenant believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access into the Holy of Holies every moment of our lives, all because of what God has done in his grace, in his mercy, by his love. We don't deserve this, but we have been given this by the Spirit of God in the person of Jesus Christ with his life, death, and resurrection. Who are we to be granted such treasure and such blessing? This is the power of the gospel. And you say, yeah, that's fine, but really what I want in life, I want more money. I want a nicer house. I want to drive a nicer car. I want to have a better relationship. I want a better job. You might want all those things, man. But if you've been granted the freedom of the gospel by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, you don't need anything else. You have been given, and trust me, the moment Christ returns or the moment you die, you will know that as perfectly as we can possibly imagine, as everything else is seen for what it is, what moth and rust destroy. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Charles Wesley explained this in one of his beautiful sermons, Can It Be? He says Look at this. He says, look, I'm describing the veil being lifted and the life that now experiences the glory. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Fast bound, just imagine like just chained, wrists and feet, prison cell. That's what sin does to us. Fast bound in sin and nature's night, darkness, misery. But thine eye diffused a quickening ray. The veil's lifted. The light shines, and all of a sudden in the darkness, like I can see light. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. So in my dungeon of prison, sin, and death, and Satan, the light of Christ comes, and all of a sudden the veil's lifted, and all of a, I can see the glory of Jesus. All of a sudden I can see, all of a sudden life. All of a sudden, love. All of a sudden, purpose. My dungeons flame with light. My chains fell off, of course. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and saw your glory. That's my version, all right? All right? But notice, I rose, went forth, and followed thee, of course, because when the veil is lifted and you behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, man, there's only one option for life now. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Where else will I go? He's everything. Jesus Christ is everything. And of course he says it twice then in this hymn. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. This is the power of the gift of freedom only given by the Holy Spirit, only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you searching here today? Are you searching for life? Search no more. Search no more. The answer is Jesus. The answer to life is there is no doubt there are several, if not dozens, of people here today that your entire eternity can change now if you will surrender your life to Jesus Christ and believe that he lived and died for your sins and rose from the dead to defeat death, that if you turn from sin and you place your faith, if you believe in him, it's not what you do, it's what he's done, and you believe in him, you shall be saved, and you will be given a freedom you never, ever thought possible. I mean, what more evidence do you need? What more testimony do you need to hear? What more experience of life do you need to go through to figure out you can't do it and neither can I, but the Lord Jesus Christ desires to fill you with so much love, you will literally be overwhelmed and you won't even know how to articulate the power of the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ upon your life. You know, I think about my mom used to sing me songs as a child as I went to bed. She, of course, sang songs of the faith over me. And I thought about the songs she used to sing to me. I thought about, I was unregenerate at that time. I was not saved. She was. And I think about the song she used to sing over me. I think about how she was really in that moment beholding the glory of the Lord. And as she was singing and beholding the glory of the Lord, she was praying that one day her son would also be able to behold the glory of the Lord. Because the moment her son would behold the glory of the Lord, the moment everything changes, the moment all of life comes into view, the moment he sees Jesus Christ for who he is, and what he has done, nothing will ever be the same again.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.